Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Also, some sad news to pass along. Former Kansas Jayhawk, the Kansas Comet, Gale Sayers has passed away. Announced by the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but he has passed away at the age of 77. So, Gale Sayers, Chicago Bears legend, in just a short amount of time.
Yeah, short career, but became one of the best ever.
Has passed away at the age of 77. So, sad news report out of KU in the NFL today.
Yeah.
Involving Gale Sayers. So
he was working at KU up until the last couple of years, right, Josh? Because you were up there and saw him a lot.
It's been a little while. He was only back for like a couple years, I believe, in like a full kind of capacity, but was,
yeah,
they kind of brought him back and he was helping with kind of fundraising and that kind of stuff, but he hadn't been there for a few years.
Yeah, so it's been a couple of years since he retired or whatever, but sad news today, man. That guy, you know, obviously, Josh, you probably saw more of him live than I ever did, but just by watching
the
highlights,
really remember him much as a player, but I remember like the reverence and Hall of Fame or whatever.
Yeah.
And then when he was at KU, it was like, oh, there's Gale Sayers. You turn into that.
Yeah,
you turn into that.
There's
kid,
certain
like,
people
that's
Gale Sayers. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
and just to watch those highlights, like for me, the highlights that I feel like I always see of Gale Sayers are at Wrigley Field. They tried to fit the stadium into that small, you know, setting there at Wrigley Field.
He's running
when the Bears used
the
to play.
Ivy,
he's running. Yeah, like, and you just watch the highlights of him and, you know, with 5, 6, 7 touchdowns or whatever it was he had in one game. I mean, the guy was exceptional, and he will go down obviously as one of the best running backs. We were talking about running backs the other day and how many current running backs you see in the Hall of Fame, and most of the guys that are in the Hall of Fame are the 34 running backs are guys that played 50s, 60s, and 70s in the NFL. There's not many guys that have had their career spill into the 2000s in the current era of football that we're in right now that are in the Hall of Fame, and all the great running backs came from that era. And it's fair to say that Gale Sayers was one of the first great running backs that ever played in the National Football League. And I think it's fair to say that he's the greatest football player to ever play at the University of Kansas.
Now, the strange part is, like, in today's era, he wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
I mean,
right.
He had less than 5,000 yards.
He was only played 7 years.
Isn't that
he
crazy?
Only played 7 years. Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? Like 5,000 yards.
But that's not true. Terrell Davis
touchdowns.
Is in the Hall of Fame.
I don't know. I think that it would be tough.
Depending if he won those championships like Terrell Davis helped John Elway do.
Two 1,000-yard seasons. And then his last two seasons only played a couple games each. So
But when he played, he dominated. And that goes back to the conversation we've had now for the last year or so on and off about, is Priest Holmes a Hall of Fame running back? And when you look at Priest Holmes' numbers and compare his numbers to Gale Sayers, compare his numbers to Terrell Davis, guys that are in the Hall of Fame right now, you can make the case that Priest Holmes belongs in the Hall of Fame. And in fact, we've made the case on this show that Priest Holmes is a Hall of Fame running back. The only thing that separates Priest Holmes from Terrell Davis is obviously the championships, which are big, but, you know, more of a quarterback stat than anything right now in the NFL. And I think Priest Holmes' career, while be it, you know, short, I think people look at it like they wanted more out of Priest. But when he played and when he was healthy, That man dominated football. That man was the best running back in the NFL when he played in those 3 or 4 years here in Kansas City. And you go back and you look at Gale Sayers' stats, he basically dominated for the same time period that Priest Holmes dominated for in the NFL. And so you look at Gale Sayers, you look at Terrell Davis, Priest Holmes is a guy that should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, in my opinion.
Gale Sayers, Chicago Bears, first round, fourth overall of the 1965 NFL draft. Was also a first-round pick, fifth overall of the 1965 AFL draft.
Oh, wow.
By the Kansas City Chiefs.
How about that? So,
there you go. Ended up being a Bear.
Yeah.
But passed away today again at the age of 77. We're going to have a Monday Night Marathon for the huge game, Chiefs and Ravens. Binkley's going to get it started just after midnight on Monday, and we're going to roll all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
All the way through the day. Post-game coverage to kind of cap things at the end of the day. You're going to have the network pregame at 4. We're going to be able to take calls here on 610 Sports Radio during the game as you're watching it, checking in, and then full post-game coverage right here on 610 Sports Radio, your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs. And, of course, the game is 7:20 kickoff on 106.5 The Wolf coming up on Monday, our Monday Night Marathon, presented by Edward Jones Financial Advisors. NFL Network was kicking this around yesterday, and I thought a really good discussion, even though I didn't, you know, agree with some of it, but when will the Chiefs lose their first game?
Was the
question. I guess you need to get to it before they lose their first game, so this would be the time to get to that question, right?
I better knock that out before Ravens
as opposed to after they, you know, potentially could lose. Kyle Brandt, though, of NFL Network, on when the Chiefs will lose their first game.
I think the Chiefs are going to get their first loss in 6 days. I'm going to take the Ravens in this game. I just think they're playing better. They look a little bit better. And they've gotten a lot better. The defense is so awesome. And it's not just Calais Campbell and it's Queen. It's our guy Peters, LJ Fort, the guy who made the big play last week. I think their defense is better. I think Lamar has come out of the gates a little bit faster than Mahomes. And at some point, they got to win one of these. They keep playing over and over. We're probably going to do this every year for a decade. Baltimore's got to have their number one. So I think it's going to be this one. I think the Chiefs are going to go to 2-1.
See, this is why they had to get that exercise done, because, you know, somebody there is going to pick the Ravens.
That's right.
So, Kyle Brandt's on the Ravens. So you have him on the anti-chiefer list?
He's on the list, yeah.
You will not have Nate Burleson on the anti-chiefer list. His thoughts on when the Chiefs will lose their first game.
When will their first loss happen? I would say off-season 2021, when Eric Bieniemy signed
a new
team.
Oh, wow. Coach,
or one of those big,
undefeated
free agents. When they leave the squad after they win another Super Bowl. That's right, Peter. I'm saying that they'll go undefeated. And I know people at home are going to say, awesome. Come on, Nate, it doesn't happen. Actually, it does. It really does. I mean, we saw the Patriots go undefeated. Of course, they lost in the Super Bowl. But it's possible, guys. And eventually, it's going to happen. And I'll ask you this. If you want to sit there at home and say, Nate, you're out of your damn mind, is this team good enough to go undefeated? You'll probably answer yes. Out of all the teams we've seen over the last handful of years, would you lean on the fact that this could be a squad with their quarterback, wide receiver play, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is what I'm told it is now, and then is the defense that the Chiefs have? Yeah, I'm going to say that they're going to go undefeated, and their first big loss will be in the offseason when guys go chase money because they have a couple of championship wins.
Very good. Very nicely done. Nicely done.
There wasn't an, oh, yeah.
Maybe on the next one there will be.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Nate Burleson going unbeaten.
That's right.
Laying out there, they will not have a loss this year.
Correct.
Because I love watching Bob listening to things like
head
this.
Nodding.
He's like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're right.
Nothing
guys,
I disagree
you
with here.
You guys catching this? You hearing this?
This is really
see
good.
What's going on?
You guys think I'm the only one that's chugging the Kool-Aid?
You're hearing
Burleson
this, right?
Is slamming
yeah.
Kool-Aid?
Yeah.
How about Schrager? Is he drinking it today, too?
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course, Schreg's in on it.
I can't pick a game they're going to lose on the schedule. How do you pick against them?
Come on.
Every time they're down by 10 points.
Right.
Every time they're down by 10 points, Mahomes finds a way. Mm-hmm. Mahomes did play great on Sunday. In the fourth quarter overtime, he was incredible. And look at this. Let's go through it. The last six games, including the playoffs, where they were down by 10 or more, look at that final column. What happens? W, 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 W. Like, if they've got their, if they've got your foot on their throats, and they still find a way to wiggle out and beat you. Like, I don't know what to tell you. So I am certainly not going to go on national TV and look down the schedule and say, that's the game.
That's right.
Because every time I think they're dead, they're still alive. They're like zombies. Mm-hmm. This team, they don't go away. Do you like wasps? I like zombies. I like crickets. I like everything. And in this case, they're cockroaches. You cannot kill them. The Chiefs, I'm not picking against them. Not until I see them lose.
Hey, hey!
Oh, yeah. Here comes Kool-Aid. Here comes Kool-Aid.
They're alive.
We're gonna save the day. Here comes Kool-Aid. Here comes Kool-Aid. I'm gonna chase your thirst away.
What I appreciate about Good Morning Football is they have panelists that actually watch the games and understand what's going on with the game. Unlike Colin Cowherd, who doesn't watch the games.
You don't know that for a fact. The only reason you say that is because they don't speak well of the Chiefs all the time.
But Colin Cowherd legitimately said yesterday Mahomes can get a little loose.
He also said he loves the Chiefs and he thinks they're laser focused.
He also talks in generics that most national talk show hosts do because they don't watch the games and they don't pay attention to what's going on.
I mean, he's
on.
Not screaming who thinks Derek Johnson's out here and people who are injured are going to be
right,
playing.
Again, another example of somebody who doesn't pay attention to the sports. Good Morning Football does an amazing job of watching the games and understanding things.
Oh, yeah. Why,
you love living in this echo chamber, don't you?
Welcome to USA, baby. I'm only surrounding myself by people that say what I want them to hear.
Bob almost hit his head on the microphone. He was nodding so much.
Yeah, it was like a bobblehead.
Oh, yeah.
How big is the Monday night stage for a player? We'll ask former linebacker Joe Mays next.
Happy ear to ear Kool-Aid smile. Y'all cause the biggest smile is a Kool-Aid smile. A Kool-Aid smile, a Kool-Aid smile.
Brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Wednesdays at 8:15, we're joined by Joe Mays, the former linebacker. His appearances are brought to you by the Leia Center, located 601 Walnut Street in downtown KC. Joe, the Chiefs playing on the Monday night stage. This is still a huge, like, bright light event for a player, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're pretty used to this now. I mean, going from the Super Bowl to opening up on Thursday night, and now to get a Monday night game. Yeah, of course, it's prime time, so they get it. So they know everybody's watching them at all times. So they got to put on the show.
You know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire said the other day the biggest difference from week one to week two was not having fans in the stands and having to, like, go, oh, my gosh, we got to generate this energy ourselves, I guess. You know, you played.
Well, he did go to LSU. He's never experienced this
before. That's true. He's never experienced this before. From LSU to the Chiefs, I mean, you know, you got some great fan bases, man. You played all over the league in Philly and Denver here in Kansas City. I mean, what's it like to have that crowd behind you, and do you think it would be like to play in front of nobody?
The extra oomph out of you. They're bringing energy, something that you feed off of, whether they're cheering you on or whether they're booing you. It's just the energy that they bring to the table that you get a chance to feed off of. And when there's no one sitting in the stands, I can only imagine that, you know, it just feels super weird, especially if you're in those stadiums and they have all that fake noise. Because you're used to hearing it in practice, but when you're playing in the game, you want to hear the people. You want to hear the fans come out and cheer you on and boo you on, so you can feed off of it and play well. So yeah, I'm pretty sure it has to feel super weird to just go out there and you basically hear everybody talking when you're used to not even being able to hear anyone speak.
So what would you do?
To boo you on
is really
that
good.
That helps too, I'm sure, in certain instances, doesn't it?
Say that again. I ain't know who to listen to.
In certain instances, booing is good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Especially when you're blowing somebody out or, you know, you just have the upper hand and the teams are booing you. That's always a great thing.
You know, Philly put in fake boos for Carson Wentz last week, so they were trying to generate, like the reality of what was going on in Philadelphia. I mean, so fake boos are good too, I guess, right?
I mean, they're going to let you know that they're disappointed, whether it's the fans or whether it's, you know, the stadium, you know, emulating the fans. I mean, they're going to let you know that you know, you're disappointing the team, you're disappointing the city. I mean, they booed McNabb, they booed Coach Reed. And if you haven't heard, they boo Santa Claus. So, I mean, the Eagles fans, they boo just about any single person that come through there. So, yeah, I think it was about, it was par, for course, for sure.
Well, this week is huge, man. I'm more excited for this game than I've been for the first two games of the season, obviously, because it's Lamar, it's Patrick, it's the Ravens, it's the Chiefs. It's the new, I believe, rivalry in the NFL. The Chiefs have dominated, though, over the last 2 years, winning both of those games. Why have the Chiefs been so successful, in your opinion, against the Ravens?
Well, I think, when it came to the Chiefs, they would just been able to, you know, play really, really good football on both sides of the field. I mean, offense and defense. And then also, don't forget special teams, being able to go out there and get good field position. So I think that, you know, it's just they played a more complete game. I mean, although the Ravens, they played them tough every single time they played them, the Chiefs come out and play more of a complete game. And, I think it's going to be interesting this year because the Ravens, they haven't forgotten about last year. They haven't forgotten about, not being able to finish and execute and do the things they want to do in order to win the national championship. So they're going to come out and play well this game, I really believe, on both sides of the ball with Lamar Jackson leading the offense and the defense still being as stout as it is.
Chatting with Joe Mays, you played the position. What do you see when you watch the Chiefs linebacker group?
You know what? I see them trying to come downhill and trying to be in every single play, especially when it's a run play. Of course, you know, it's still in the beginning of the season. You know, not everyone is getting off blocks the way they need to get off blocks. So that's going to be something that's going to be key, especially when you're playing these running teams like Baltimore. They're going to come in. They're going to run the ball all game long until you stop it. And then, you know, be able to run the play action pass off of it and go deep down the field. So it's gonna be extremely important for the Chiefs to stop the run game because, I mean, you know, every single week the teams are watching what the Chiefs' defense weakness is. And so far it just seems like being able to stop the run, that's the one thing that they can on.
Yeah, no, it is not easy to stop this Baltimore running attack. It was the best in the NFL a year ago. It's on pace to be one of the best in the NFL again this season. Yeah. So when you say stop the run, that's not just a cliche for this game. That's legitimately it. And the one thing that I think, you know, I've seen John Harbaugh do in these two games against the Chiefs, he's panicked. When it hasn't worked, he's panicked and thrown his game plan out the window. And that's part of the reason, a big part of the reason why they've lost these games to the Chiefs. So do you think if the Chiefs can come out there early and stop the run early in this game, it may have that same type of effect and they may get panic set in over there in Baltimore?
No, you know what? I think they'll panic if the Chiefs come out and score on their first two or three possessions because now it kind of tosses the run game out. At this point, you have to make sure you match point for point. And instead of, you know, trying to be in control of the game, I mean, you're already out of control because you're losing by two or three touchdowns. That's going to force him to change his game plan altogether. So if the Chiefs can come out on offense and execute and score in their first couple possessions, go up by a couple touchdowns, that'll change everything.
So you think there's more pressure on the offense to get it done this week and really lay a beat down early than the defense?
Yeah, I really do. Of course, you know, I think our defense will be able to withhold. But the thing is, when it comes to that Ravens team, they have so many weapons, just like our offense have weapons when it comes to throwing the ball. They have a ton of weapons running the ball, including the quarterback, which I believe he might be the most dangerous one. So it's going to be important for our offense to score more points than their offense. And, of course, the defense have to hold up as best they can.
Chiefs have had a bunch of success with next man up, especially on defense right now. They've kind of weathered some injuries and put guys in and seemingly have kind of played. Is that good player selection, good player recognition? Does that go back to the coaching? Where do you see that they've had that success? And if somebody goes, we're just going to put somebody else in and keep plugging along.
It's a mixture of both. You know, when it comes to, you know, choosing personnel, the Chiefs definitely do their homework. Coach Reed, Veach, those guys, they do a ton of studying on players and knowing who's the right fit for the team. Who's smart enough to go in and be able to play if someone goes down? Who can also, you know, be talented and go out there and help the team win? So, you know, these are different things that they're checking off when you know, recruiting or studying players. So when they come in and they teach them everything they need to teach them and coach them up well, and then, you know, just their time it comes up, if, you know, whether it's injury or whether it's time for them to start, They're ready to play. So, yeah, the Chiefs do their homework, and they know who to bring in, who not to bring in.
Joe, I think Butker right now is the best weapon in the NFL from that kicker standpoint. I mean, he's unbelievable. Who's the best weapon you ever played with?
Oh, man. That right there is a tough one. Let's see. Tim Tebow? No.
Not the answer I thought we'd get.
I had to throw that in there. The best weapon. You know what, man? I played when I was in Philadelphia with Brian Westbrook. That dude was amazing. He ran the ball. He caught the ball. He was what Clyde Helaire is turning into today, what everyone is saying he's going to turn into. But he did it consistently, week in, week out. I would probably say he was probably the best weapon I've been around.
So you're going with Tebow then? You're going to stick with Tebow?
Yeah, no. No, I'm not sticking with Tebow. You know, Tebow was a good dude, but as far as being a weapon, that's a stretch.
Yeah, no doubt. Joe, we appreciate the time as always, and we'll see you down at the Leia Center soon, my man.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all having me on.
You got it.
Joe Mays joins us Wednesdays at 8:15 each and every week, gives his perspective. Of course, he still calls him Coach Reed. I love it.
They all do.
I know. Yeah. It's just so great though. Like Coach, you know, it's that deferential. Like, oh yeah, that's Coach Reed.
That's Coach Reed, or just so Coach. You know, when you refer to him as Coach, yeah. You know, that's when you know. You know,
you got their attention.
That's right.
He's always got his attention.
Mm-hmm.
Big story coming up, and speaking of the aforementioned running back, he thinks Mahomes pretty good at this too. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Step Power brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Stereo speakers, amps, subs, remote starts.
Yeah, those are money.
Colder weather is coming. I'll tell you what, there's nothing better than hitting that button and that car fires up and it's all nice and warm before you jump
nice
in.
Nice and toasty and you get in there.
And the reverse of the summer. And you have it so it kicks on your
air. I never use mine in the winter or in the summertime.
Of course you should.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yes. They can take care of that as well. Santa Fe Auto Sound. So get your appointments now. 83rd in Santa Fe or online at SantaFeAutoSound.com. Today is Wednesday. That means Power Ranking Day.
Ooh.
Okay, that means we power rank random things as well.
Right.
Coming up.
I don't know why I was so excited.
You were very excited. Like it just.
I kind of forgot about it until right now.
Just dawned
on you. We literally
had
a conversation about it for like a half hour.
Why you gotta take away the theater of the mind?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were forgetting.
A little compromise in the world of baseball. I guess I'm going to have to compromise on.
Yeah. Well, Ryan, I think, has to compromise more than us. Well, maybe not, though.
No. Yeah,
maybe not.
I'm a different way.
Yeah. Yes.
So a lot to get to in the next 30 minutes. It's time now for the big story.
Everyone, I'm sorry for the delay, but the big moment has finally come.
It's the big story.
This may be the biggest thing that's ever happened.
If it's what you're talking about, it's what we're talking about.
My God, are you still talking?
On Fesco in the Morning.
Big story brought to you by Novel Place Senior Living in Overland Park and Blue Springs, a novel choice in senior living. Hall of Famer, former Kansas Jayhawk, and the great nickname, one of the great nicknames,
yeah,
right?
The Kansas Comet.
Yep. It's fantastic. Gale Sayers has passed away at the age of 77, mm-hmm. according to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, was the first one to kind of make that announcement today. But Sayers played seven seasons in Chicago with the Bears, was actually drafted by the Chiefs as well. In the AFL, but was drafted by the Bears in the NFL at the time, and went on to play seven seasons for the Bears, and was the youngest inductee into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
At the age of, I want to say 34, I want to say when he was inducted in 1977, one of the youngest members of the Hall of Fame, and maybe an NFL career that was they're like, man. Wanted that to be a lot longer.
A little bit longer, right?
But passed away at the age of 77, born in Wichita, played at Kansas,
mm-hmm.
and then had that career in the NFL, the Pro Football Hall of Famer. Later came back to work at KU for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
One of the all-time greats in the NFL. Gale Sayers has passed away at the age of 77.
I mean, and you look at his career and you say you wish you had more of it, and I think that's kind of the standard for running backs in the NFL. They're careers that are short. They're not as long as you think they are. Or they feel like they should be, and you kind of move on, and it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, too, with Gale Sayers' numbers very comparable to what Priest Holmes did in a limited time here in Kansas City. Of the last five running backs that have been inducted into the Hall of Fame, nobody has more average touchdowns a game than Priest Holmes does in his career. Nobody has more average yards per carry in his career than Priest Holmes does. And when you look at his comparisons per yards per catch, only Marshall Faulk has more yards per catch of the last five running backs inducted into the Hall of Fame than Priest Holmes. He's putting up Hall of Fame numbers. Obviously, Gale Sayers put up Hall of Fame numbers. And when you compare what Priest Holmes did in a limited amount of time to what Gale Sayers did in a limited amount of time, you can see Hall of Fame comparisons from Priest Holmes even back to Gale Sayers. And Gale was the guy who dominated football when he was healthy and when he played. And that's the same for Priest Holmes. And I think that's the role of the running back, Josh. You're not going to get a lot of years out of them, but when you do get years out of them and they dominate, it is something special. And Gale Sayers was something special. And obviously, I'm not old enough to have ever watched the guy play live, but just seeing those highlights and the way that he just owned other teams in the NFL was absolutely remarkable.
So Gale Sayers passed away at the age of 77. Makes the running back position so hard. That's one of the reasons that one's so hard to evaluate.
Yeah.
How you gonna look at it? Like dominance over a short window.
Yeah.
Certainly with, other positions, namely quarterback, you're looking at longevity and all those things. And the running back position is typically so short, they got to figure out how exactly you're going to evaluate.
Now, right.
Gale Sayers now in this era might not get in.
May not get in.
You know, it might not fit that criteria for, because it was just seven seasons, really five, the meat of it was five seasons. That makes it tough. That makes a tough case to get in. But as you mentioned, kind of dominant in his era.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Absolutely.
So that definitely would put you in. But yeah, it's a tough position to evaluate because yeah, you can make a case for Priest Holmes. Someone else could make a case for, well, he didn't play long enough.
Right.
His window of dominance wasn't quite long enough. That case has always been made about Terrell Davis
right.
as well. Very short window, but got himself in. So the those types of situations have happened where you're able to get somebody in a shorter window. I think Terrell Davis is going to open that up for someone like a Priest Holmes.
Yeah, I think the conversation needs to be had again about Priest Holmes getting into the Hall of Fame. Do you know he scored 48 rushing touchdowns from 2002 to 2003? Priest Holmes had a 27 touchdown season and a 21 touchdown season. The man scored 48 rushing touchdowns in 2 years on an offense that was so heavy on the pass, if you will. I mean, they liked to throw the ball in that era of Chiefs football, but Priest Holmes still got into the end zone 48 times rushing the football in 2002 to 2003. When you look at points scored in a season,
everybody was trying to get him as number one in their fantasy draft.
Yeah, he really was, man. He had 162 points scored in that 2003 season, and obviously, as we said, the most touchdowns in a season, 27 rushing touchdowns in 2003. And in 2002,
so mad at Sean Alexander
for
too.
Breaking that record.
Yeah.
In 2005, he broke that record, and LaDainian Tomlinson broke that in 2006. But in 2002, Priest Holmes had 24 total touchdowns, three out of the backfield receiving. And so over those 2 years in the NFL, Priest Holmes had 51 touchdowns in two seasons. That's remarkable.
And all we do is continue to prove to them who the baddest motherfuckers on the planet are.
That wasn't Priest.
No, that was not. But he was at that point in time, man. He was a bad dude.
Priest was much nicer than that. Not that aggressive.
51 touchdowns in two seasons out of a running back? Good Lord.
That's
Sean Alexander type numbers.
Stop it.
Did Sean Alexander have two good years, or did he just have the one good year?
I think he had multiple good years.
It's hard to say. Hey, he didn't have another touchdown year like that because it's a remarkable
touchdown
year. But I don't know did he have back-to-back 20s?
Priest had back-to-back years.
Had back-to-back 20-plus?
I don't know.
Sean Alexander had 27 in that 2005 season was his highest output. But if we're talking total touchdowns, he got 20 total touchdowns in 2004. So back-to-back years of 20 or more total touchdowns. Then he also had five straight seasons of 14 or more touchdowns rushing.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
How's he not in the Hall of Fame?
Longevity.
It's running backs are different. But they're graded differently.
He played 8 years in Seattle and had a blip on the radar in Washington.
How is he not in the Hall of Fame? God.
The same reason that Priest Holmes is.
But Terrell Davis didn't have longevity. Gail Sayers didn't have longevity.
Terrell Davis had two rings.
I understand that. But Winston, when are we judging running backs based on rings?
We judge everybody based on rings.
Not offensive linemen. No, quarterbacks are judged by rings. You don't look at a running back and go, how many rings do they have?
Yeah, I think
you do. But then we get rid of the Hall of Fame and just put in teams then. You know, just honor the teams that won the rings.
If not the rings, though, Terrell Davis wouldn't have he would have the longevity question. I mean, that was the separator. I don't think we judge them on rings, but for him, that was like the
that puts you over the top.
I mean,
knocking with those big rings on. Yeah. They're gonna.
You know my answer to this question, but is Calvin Johnson a Hall of Famer?
I think he is, yeah.
I mean, I do too. I think he's the greatest wide receiver ever, but you know what? He didn't play long enough to prove it.
But Jerry Rice did, though. But guys in the NFL
propped up with those one-yard hook routes every damn week.
But what's longevity in the NFL, though? And we're totally off the track here, but I'm okay with that. What is longevity in the NFL?
Because we've determined that at this
two
point.
Two contracts? I don't know.
Because careers are not, unless you're a quarterback now in the NFL, what is longevity in the NFL? And if you play in the NFL and you dominate those years that you played, why does that count against you because you didn't play longer and have like an Emmitt Smith 2 years in Arizona? I mean, like, so obviously he was a Hall of Famer before that, but you get my point here. I mean, like, we're holding guys down for longevity in a sport that doesn't lend itself
to playing very long. Yes. It's dangerous. It's hard on your body. You're not going
to
play very long.
I mean, I think if you ask fans, like we're opening the doors to Canton to a lot of people. If you ask the football writers, like that's where the hiccup is. It's the same way with baseball. Like Cooperstown has this elite status where I think it's ridiculous that you wouldn't have the hit king in there or the home run king. You know, or a guy that has 300 plus wins like Roger Clemens. Like, I think it's ridiculous don't have those types of players in there because you want to get on this moral high ground about things. So to be honest with you, like, I think that that's the hurdle is just getting past that with football writers.
I mean, Earl Campbell only played 7 years in the NFL.
I would say that feels like longevity.
Terrell Davis had 6 years in the NFL.
Into his second contract. Well, at that time, a little bit different, but. But as of now, say you're a first-round guy and you get 5 years in another deal.
Yeah.
That's pretty much longevity.
So 5 years plus the other deal would be eight?
Yeah.
8, 9 years somewhere in that ballpark? Most guys are signing 3 or 4 year deals?
Yeah.
Doak Walker played 5 years in the NFL. I mean, LaDainian Tomlinson played 10 years in the NFL. Thurman Thomas had obviously a nice career.
Yeah, but LaDainian Tomlinson played 10 really productive years. In the NFL, Sean Alexander had 9 years in the NFL, but you could really only chalk
good
up
years
maybe
Jim Brown.
No, there was about six really solid years.
Jim Brown, who people will say was one of the best played 8 years in the NFL.
They were all eight productive years, though.
But he has no rings, right? If I'm not mistaken, like Cleveland didn't win some weird NFL championship when he was playing, did they? They may have, I don't know. But I mean, you look at these guys, longevity, man. I think longevity is fool's gold. In this league right now, I think it's hard to hold somebody out of a Hall of Fame because they suffered an injury that wasn't something that they could control, but they dominated their ass off when they played.
Text line aptly pointing out, too, Earl Campbell also has the hot links.
That's true. He does. His sausage is amazing.
Treat trunks for thighs. Earl, he was born Earl Christian Campbell.
Was that the guy who had the NFL experience at Union Station? They had like the cutout of his thighs and like I could fit inside the thigh.
Yes, that would be him. Barry Sanders only played 9 years in the NFL.
I'm going
through the list of guys that are in the Hall of Fame.
Well, nine didn't feel like enough because he was so productive.
Yeah.
But nine's enough for building a body of work,
I mean, O.J. Simpson's in the Hall of Fame. He only played a decade. Marshall Faulk is in the Hall of Fame. He played 94 to 05.
One of the first times we haven't had a quick O.J. comebacker. We're slipping, guys. We're slipping.
No, I thought of it, but I didn't.
He's only into his second week at the NFL. We know that. Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Is he a Hall of Famer yet?
He's not. The Chiefs running back appeared on Pro Football Talk Live and was discussing, among other things, his quarterback and thinks Scott Pioli would have loved Mahomes. Well,
who wouldn't?
He's a special quarterback, and in my time, I've been able to line up next to I guess some good ones with Joe, but Patrick is special, and he shows it every day. He comes to work and he shows it every day. Even if, you know, it's the simple things. It's the simple things. It may be picking up some trash in the hallway, but ultimately, Pat is that dude. He's that guy that leads.
That's
I'm
right.
Sorry, what?
Scott Pioli would have loved Patrick Mahomes. Why? Because he picks up trash in the hallway.
Wow.
He'd have fit in during that era.
I can't so get great. This image out of my mind of just Mahomes like wandering the halls just picking up
rappers. That's a leader, man. He's not above anything. And I think that's ultimately what Pioli was trying to get, the point that he was trying to make.
It was very much lost.
Very much
group,
lost. Right. You know, like those people at that time did not care about
mockable
that.
Mockable now, but, right. You know.
He just sighs and shakes his head. He's like, ah.
But Patrick Mahomes saying, I'm the leader of this organization, and if there's something that's out of whack and I need a light bulb changed or this needs to be picked up, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take care of that.
Just
I'm going to lead by example.
With a pocket full of trash.
But here it is. Patrick Mahomes is out there picking up trash and stairwells and
that's
picking
correct.
Up candy bars. Everybody's like, well, that's a leader. Mm-hmm. Pioli tried to get people to do that. They called him a tyrant.
Correct. You know? Like, what is this psychopath doing? Leading candy wrappers out there for some type of social experiment.
Yeah.
How dare he?
How dare he do that? Patrick Mahomes is picking it up.
Mahomes is like,
I'm the leader, man. Nothing's
we know Mahomes can make anything great now, right?
Right. He can make Scott Pioli's candy wrapper story legendary
Pioli's
and good.
Why
right?
couldn't I had Mahomes?
Gosh, if I had Mahomes there, he understood.
He understood what I was trying to do
it's
there.
It's not what you say, it's how you say
true.
It.
True. Yeah, absolutely. There's no question about it. Or it's not what you do, it's how you do it. And if he sees the trash there on the ground, he picks it up. That sends an example to guy who's 53 on the roster, who's rookie on the roster. Wow. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is the greatest quarterback in the world, and here he is picking up the candy wrappers in the hallway. Yeah. Okay, well, that's something that I need to do as well. That is leading by example. That is setting the tone and showing the entire organization that you're willing to do anything, man, whatever it takes. Scott Pioli said to do it, and everybody thought he was a nut.
816 says, so Patrick's like Baker in the Progressive commercials.
Pretty much, yes.
Is that Progressive?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, cool.
Is it?
I don't know.
Pat's out there sweeping up after the game.
So is Baker replace Flo?
No, I guess I don't know. I don't know who it is. Where he's, you know, he's vacuuming, cleaning up the stadium.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, right, yeah.
He's got his little dustbuster out.
Pioli was just ahead of his time.
Is that what it was?
Apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently. CEH also.
Save so much money on these banners.
CEH also says his quarterback runs pretty well, too.
Pat is a weapon with his feet. You know, I was cracking jokes with him, telling him how fast he is and the things that, I mean, he can take off running at practice and you're really not expecting it just because his arm channel, he always finds a way to do something with his arm, and you're just not expecting to do the same things with his legs. So he displayed that, and that's Pat being Pat. He has that skill set, and he's able to use it at any time.
We were discussing how fast he was.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's how that went down.
Yeah. Pat, you're really good at throwing that running thing.
Yeah, I'm sure that's how that went down.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure that is exactly how it went down. But again, it's just something else now that's in the minds of the Baltimore Ravens that they have to prepare for. And I think, and we've said before, Patrick Mahomes' runs at times are more devastating than the throws. At least with the throws, you can say, all right, that's Patrick Mahomes. That's what he does. But what's devastating is when you have all of that covered and you take away what he's best at, and then you allow him to get outside and run, and he runs for a big gain, and he picks up that first down, and he extends that drive, and he keeps moving the ball down the field. Those are the devastating plays that you're just like, as a defense, you can hear them go, oh, God, now what? What happened again? So to me, when he runs and picks up those first downs, those are more devastating than him completing a big pass because you expect that to happen.
Let's take a look at this week's power rankings brought to you by Elevated Living, heading into the matchup of the year in the NFL coming up on Monday. We start first. Get ready for your drop button, Bob.
Right.
USA Today's power rankings have the Chiefs falling a spot this week after week number two. with the Ravens replacing the Chiefs for the number one spot. USA Today says the Ravens have won 14 consecutive regular season games, last five by at least 16 points. And this year's dominant 2-0 start comes with an average margin of victory of 24.5 points.
Well, the Chiefs have won 11 straight games, three of those in the postseason, and one was a Super Bowl. So stick that in your pipe and smoke at USA Today. You wonder why newspapers are dead.
They have the Chiefs at number two. They're right up. Purists may hate to see a defending champ dropped in a power poll.
Yes.
When they have yet to lose.
Correct.
Even if they're benefiting from a bailout of a listless performance.
Bailout?
Courtesy of stellar kicker Harrison Butker. Or they would butt kicker in there.
Or did Patrick Mahomes bailout put them in position and the defense made an interception?
Listless performance.
That is just wrong. Didn't watch the game.
But
Kansas City can correct any perceived slight by beating Baltimore on Monday night.
Did you watch the game?
Rhymes as well.
Yeah, they didn't watch the game because Harrison Butker kicked the field goal. But Patrick Mahomes led the offense to put them in position to get the field goal. The defense made a big play and a big stop to hold them at the goal line to a field goal of the opposition. The defense made a big play on third down to force the Chargers to punt. The defense made a big play by intercepting a pass. So, yeah, Harrison Butker gets credit for the win. But, my God, the offense and defense did a lot to put him in position to have the opportunity to kick the winning field goal. So, watch the game, USA Today.
Dan Hanzus, NFL Network. He has the Ravens at number one, up a spot. The Chiefs at number two, down a spot.
Hand Zeus?
I guess Hand Zeus.
Hand Zeus?
H-A-N-Z-U-S. How else would you pronounce it?
Hanzus? Yeah, Hanzus. Not Kansas, no.
The great state of Kansas?
The great state of Kansas.
I'm going Hanzus.
And we're not in Kansas anymore.
Well, we're not.
He has the Ravens one. The Ravens are unfair right now. Running game returned to its dominant ways. The best, most complete team in the NFL right now.
What did his uneducated take about the Chiefs
say? As the Chiefs says, Sunday's win over the Chargers was a reminder that this is a complete team, not just a bunch of satellites in the orbit of the great and powerful Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, I'm good with that.
It was the defense and special teams that closed out L.A.
Yeah, I'm good with
Steve that. Steve Spagnuolo's unit forced a 3-and-out to start overtime, setting up Harrison Butker's field goal to win it. Ravens All-Pro Justin Tucker still has my vote for the best kicker in the universe. But that final sequence of Butker drilling 50-plus yard field goal after field goal after field goal officially puts Tucker on notice. Even if it was the last kick was the only one that counted.
Look, I agree with everything he said there. I have no issues with anything he said. He clearly watched the game, has an understanding of what this team is all about. I'll take away the anti-chiefer and I'll just put he's kind of the Ravens sensation because they're the hot team this week.
Yahoo Sports. Their power rankings this week, they're discussing Josh Allen as a potential MVP candidate, which is a little bit insane.
I mean, it's
at
week
point.
Two. Why wouldn't we just cast our ballots today?
I guess why not at this point just have Josh Allen in the discussion because he'll quickly fall out of it. That's like having that Heisman discussion in week one or two because that's when there's the most candidates.
Right.
But they have the Chiefs at number two as well. Ravens at number one. The Chiefs-Ravens game next Monday night is going to be a beauty. No football fan should miss it. The best part of the Chiefs' comeback win on Sunday might be that it didn't take any luster off their week three matchup against the Ravens.
True.
Yeah. It's, for us especially, we're just going to file it. Uh-huh. That game's just filed. Right?
Right.
Got by it.
One move on.
Yes. CBS Sports has the matchup as well as number one versus number two. They still have the... Chiefs at number one.
They televised the game. They watched it.
Actually, one versus three. They have the Chiefs one, Packers two, Ravens three.
I'm on board with
that. You're just convincing anybody who thinks ill of the Chiefs didn't watch the game.
Absolutely. How could you be ill of the Chiefs and say, yeah, I've watched all eight
I don't know how you can
team.
Walk out of week two with the Chiefs and say they're better than the Ravens, at least on paper right now.
And Sports Illustrated has this a battle of number two versus number three. They have the Seattle Seahawks number one.
Chiefs
number one and the Ravens.
Do we have an anti-Ravener for this one, too?
Number three.
No, Seahawks. Make that.
There are this week's power rankings brought to you by Elevated Living. Time for our random power rankings of the week. We decided to do power rank replacements. Certainly a surprise the other day when Justin Herbert was replacing Tyrod Taylor.
That
came out of nowhere. So we're going to power rank our random replacements. Ryan?
OK. coming in at number four on my random replacement list. Second, Becky. I don't even remember the first Becky. I'm not even going to lie. But Sarah Chalk. Oh.
Yeah, you like the second Becky. Huh?
I love me some second Becky. So second Becky coming in at number four on my power rankings. We're
going. Okay, go ahead.
Daniel Craig over Pierce Brosnan. Great replacement.
Wow. Okay.
I was not a Pierce Brosnan. I grew up playing GoldenEye. So I should like Pierce Brosnan more. Daniel Craig, just a much better James Bond. Much better. I'd also be here for Idris Elba. I'm just throwing that out there.
Okay.
Number two on my list, give me Morty Seinfeld. I don't remember.
It's a good one.
I don't remember when they made that transition.
After season one, I think, yeah.
But I know watching the first season, it was very awkward seeing Jerry's mom in bed with another man.
With another man, yeah.
It made me feel some type of way, and I didn't enjoy it.
No,
so.
That's true. That's a good one. That's a great replacement by them.
Yeah, yep. Morty Seinfeld, number two on my list, and coming in at number one on my list.
Number one.
Diet Dr. Pepper. It tastes almost exactly like regular Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Very fine replacement.
Yeah, I'm going to give mine before Josh gives his this week.
Get to work on it a little bit longer? Okay.
For me, coming in at number four, Voigt sneakers. Instead of getting the Nikes as a kid, you got the Voigts.
Yeah, we got Pro Wings. We have Pro Wings.
The Voigt sneakers, too. Yeah.
Number three, I've got the other Becky as well. The other Becky comes in at number three on the list for great replacements.
She must have climbed up the power rankings this week.
Number two on the list, the Korean Baseball League comes in. It was a great replacement when we didn't have sports. It gave you your fix
in
the morning.
It was on this morning, and we're asking ourselves, why are they still playing?
Yeah,
Major League Baseball still happening. What are you doing?
Korean Baseball.
Yeah, so the KBL goes on me at number two.
Ever asked Jeff Garland back.
No, he has not been back since.
Korean Baseball.
And number one on the list for me and for Josh, Beta.
Oh, you are not nice. I got a text from my father just last week again.
Should I get rid of this Beta, Josh?
Praising,
that was pretty classic.
Sticking up for the technology that was Beta. Just still can't have it. Okay, replacements. This was really
hard everybody.
For me. Because I could have done like a top 50 on this one.
Right.
Instead of just a Rushmore. Number four on my replacements list, Mountain Lightning. I mean, it's just as good as the Dew.
Okay.
It is really, really good if you catch that Walmart variety.
Yeah, got you there.
Number three would be the toaster pastries. at Hy-Vee, they are better than the actual Pop-Tart. Toaster pastries are better.
Yeah, their cinnamon brown sugar, very strong.
Number two would be Honey Graham Crunch.
Oh, that's a good
which
one.
I have said for a long time. I've told listeners of this show, better than the Golden Graham.
I think
so
we all
get
took a very different angle on
the Hy-Vee Golden Graham Crunch. And my number one replacement had to be Shane Falco. Actually, Shane Falco.
That's good.
The number one replacement.
There you go.
So you can weigh in on yours. 913-576-7610.
It's Honey Graham Crunch. Is that what they call
Honey
it?
Graham Crunch. Yes.
Jot that down.
It's fantastic. Fantastic.
I told you I had the Glacier Ranch Doritos from Walmart.
And?
Yeah, they're delightful.
That's what I'm saying.
Your Bob Davis?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. They're really, really good. This half hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Royals are on ESPN tonight, I just
it's,
looked up and saw.
Not no every day you get heave-hoed on your birthday, but that's what happened to Mike Matheny. We'll talk to him next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.